In Acts chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food." That's the New American Standard Version. It says these widows were being overlooked. The King James Version, the New King James Version, the American Standard Version, and the English Standard Version says neglected. Either word is fine. We want to consider this idea of overlooking or neglecting things tonight and the potential consequences. Like in this particular case, the neglecting the widows, the overlooking the widows, was not intentional. There was no racial bias, no gender bias. It's just a thing that happened, but not intentional. And as best I can tell, it was not an evil thing. There were no bad motives. As far as I know, there was no sin involved. It was something that did need to be addressed. And so neglect can sometimes be of the nature that it's not necessarily sinful. But a third thing we learn from this text is that neglecting can lead to problems. It did lead to problems here. You'll see that there was discord, there was a complaint, there was unhappiness. Could have been some big problems in the church brought about by overlooking or neglecting a particular area. Now, what the apostles did when they recognized this problem, they took measures to correct it, and that should be a procedure that we would take when we recognize some particular responsibility that we need to attend to that we have overlooked. And I hope that our study tonight will make us conscious of that so that we'll address that. But a fourth lesson from the particular text is that in addressing the problem of neglect, we can get things out of balance. If you were here in our lesson this morning, we talked about balance. We talked about how we can begin to swing like a pendulum, and instead of stopping in the right place, we can go too far the other direction. You'll see the danger of that because these men told the congregation to select, the apostles told the congregation to select seven men that they could appoint over this task. If you look down at verse 4, "We will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." So the apostles could have gotten all involved in rectifying the problem, and that would have been a good work, but the problem with that is it would not have left them the time and attention they needed to attend to their work of teaching the word. And so things would have gotten out of balance. And so that's an important lesson in this particular text. Now, we want to take these lessons and apply it to some other areas. Certainly these are lessons for the church today. When we see things in the local church that have been neglected, we need to address them, but always need to keep in mind the need for proper balance. But let's look at some other areas. Look at Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24. It's interesting as you began to go through your Bible how often this thread of neglect is mentioned in reference to various areas of our life and the problems that it can generate. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24, in the New American Standard Version, it reads, "He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently." Now, the word withholds, if you happen to read the King James Version or the New King James Version or the American Standard Version, instead of withholds, they'll have the word spare. Spare his rod. I looked up the definition of spare, and it has at least four different definitions. One is to refrain from treating harshly. That's not what it means here. A definition two is to refrain from harming or destroying. Again, that's not the definition that is intended by the translation to spare. There's two other definitions that will fit. One is to save or relieve from experiencing or doing something. So it may be that disciplining your son is unpleasant to you as a parent. And so to avoid the difficulty and the heartache involved in that, you may withhold or spare what needs to be done. Maybe you're reading a magazine, you're watching your favorite TV program, and it would be inconvenient to stop and pay attention to a child's inappropriate demeanor or attitude, and so you ignore it. You withhold or you neglect. You spare. The fourth definition, to hold back from, fits well the translation to withhold discipline. So, here's a responsibility of parents, not to be neglectful or sparing, but look at the contrast in the next line. To discipline what? What does this version say? This one says diligently. Other versions translate it different ways. The King James says betimes. The New King James says promptly. The idea is that there's a tension. There's purpose in it. And so, maybe a parent says, now, little Johnny, I don't want you running on the pews. And then they go talk to somebody. And they don't pay attention. They neglect to follow up with the instructions that were given. No intentional evil, and maybe there's no really evil, but it can lead to problems because little Johnny knows that what mom and dad says, he can do it anyway as long as they're not paying attention. And that may not be a crucial matter when he's 4. It may be quite different when he's 16. And so, therefore, he who disciplines his son diligently is the one who loves or cares about him. The one who withholds or spares or neglects it hates. That's what the text says, hates. That is, he acts like somebody that's not seeking the welfare of his child. So you can see that the proverb writer, in the words of wisdom, said this is an important matter. It's worth your attention. What is your child doing? How are they reacting when you tell them something? What is the countenance on their face? What are they mumbling under their breath when they walk away from you? Pay attention. Don't neglect it. And if you're involved in something, lay it down and take care of the matter. That's the proper attitude toward discipline. To neglect that brings problems. There's another verse in Proverbs that addresses this same attitude. Look over in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15. Proverbs 29:15. Here he says, the rod and reproof, and you know these go together, the discipline and the reproof, the instruction, the child to understand what's going on, give wisdom. But note the contrast. But a child, now this version, the New American Standard Version, says who gets his own way. If you look in the marginal note of the New American Standard, you'll see that what they've done, instead of translating, they've interpreted. It's a good idea. It's not really what the proverb writer wrote. You'll see in the marginal note, it says literally, left to himself, and that's the way the King James and the New King James translates it. So think about that a minute. Why does he get his own way, as the New American Standard translates it? Because mother and daddy just look the other way. They leave him to himself, let him do what he wishes. He or she could be a girl as well as a boy. And the point is, it's just a matter of neglect. Now, you look at the contrast in verse 17. It's interesting, back in the first verse, you had antithetic parallelism, one line, and then the contrast. And here you have verse 15, same type parallelism, and then another proverb right below advising wise parental interaction. Correct your son, and he'll give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. So, in other words, pay attention to. Do not be lazy. Do not simply discipline when it makes you mad. You know, maybe the child has done something that is of no big consequence. In fact, because it didn't tear up anything, it didn't ruin anything, and so you let it go. But maybe sometimes the child has an accident. It was not an act of rebellion. It's just things we all do, and now it makes us mad and we jump up and react. That's not discipline. Discipline has to do with discipling, teaching, training. And so neglecting our responsibility, I know parents don't mean to do that. It's not intentional neglect. It's not that they want to send their son or daughter down the road the wrong course, but it can lead to problems. Now, you remember that balance? Parents can get so concentrated on discipline, correcting, that there's no encouragement. There's no mercy. There's no grace. We talked about that this morning, didn't we? And as a parent, while I do not neglect, I should not neglect discipline, I should not neglect encouragement. You ever tell your child, you're a good boy, you're a good girl, I appreciate what you've done, thank you. So both sides of that coin is something that needs to be paid attention to. Well, it's not only in the area of child rearing, being a parent, where neglect can have consequences, but also in the marital relationship. Turn to Genesis chapter 29. You remember that Jacob had married two women. And one of these women, Rachel, he loved. Leah, he did not love. Now, when we say he loved, we're going to talk about this in our family class. We're talking here in the sense of he did not have the feeling love for Leah. He did not have affection for her. For Rachel, he did. Rachel caused his heart to sing, as it were. And so Leah felt the hurt and pain from that. The way the Bible puts it in verse 31 is Leah was unloved. Now, unloved doesn't mean he didn't care about her, provide for her, see that she had clothes and food, nothing like that, or that he abused her in some way. He simply did not have that emotional attachment to her. How do you know that's the idea? Well, look a little bit further. Besides the fact he did care for her, love in that sense, you have a statement just a little bit lower in verse 34. She starts having children to try to correct this problem, which it didn't. But nevertheless, the idea in that was, I'll delight my husband and now he'll have this emotional feeling for me. But in verse 34, she conceived again and bore a son. Now this time my husband will become attached to me. And so she named him Levi. Levi is related to that word, attached. The King James Version uses the idea of will be joined to. Joined to? Attached? Weren't they married already? Yes. What does it mean, become attached or joined to? What is she talking about then? If they're already married, they're already having children together, what is she talking about? If I understand it, it's emotional attachment. The opposite of being attached is detached. And the word romance says ardent emotional attachment or involvement between people. What was she wanting? Yes, romance. Romantic feelings. That's what she wanted and that's what she needed. Did Jacob intend to ignore her and make her feel bad? There's no indication of that. I think it'd be unfair to charge Jacob with that. Was it evil or sinful? I don't know that it was sinful. But I'll tell you what, Jacob paid the price because of the conflict in the home. It did lead to problems. It did indeed. Now, in an effort to correct it, her effort was to have children. It didn't work. It didn't work. Had Jacob been aware enough to correct it, he could have easily overcompensated and caused problems. And so again, there's the need for balance. But clearly in this text, there's a lesson here to men. Pay attention. Your wife just doesn't need, she not only needs somebody to buy her a place to live and provide a roof over her head and clothes to wear and beans on the table. She needs tender words and tender touches, tender hugs. And she needs them when she needs them, not just when you need them. Oh, I didn't think about that. That's neglect. That's what we're talking about. I know, I just overlooked it. Well, quit overlooking it. That's what we're talking about. And that undermines a relationship. And so you can see the neglect. And it brought, no, it's interesting.
in verse 32. Leah conceived and bore a son named him Reuben. She said, because the Lord has seen my, what? Affliction? Did she have cancer? Did she have multiple sclerosis or something? No. The affliction of the neglect of emotional attachment. That can be very painful in a marriage. And so you can see it does indeed lead to problems. Over in Proverbs 5, along these same lines in reference to marriage, we have some wise counsel. We're back in the words of wisdom. So look at Proverbs chapter 5 as the writer here in exhorts husbands and wives relative to the marriage relationship. So with a very interesting counsel. Now, if you're in the family class, you're going to hear some of this again. That's okay. Maybe the second time through, it'll really register. But look at Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 15. He said, drink water from your own cistern and fresh water from your own well. And we'll point out more in our study when we get into it in depth that he's not talking about water. That's very clear. He's talking about satisfying one's passion, one's sensual desires, scriptural, holy sensual desires in his wife. He says, verse 18, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. As a loving hind and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times. Now note that next line. This version translates it, be exhilarated always with her love. One version translates it, be ravished with her love. And another one, enraptured with her love. The idea is that this is to be something that's an act, a time, an experience between the man and the woman that carries them away with emotion. It's not just the fulfillment of a duty. It's not simply a responsibility, but should be an enjoyed thing in the marital relationship. Now, how important is it? We said that neglect, maybe the man just don't think about that, or the woman doesn't think about it. They don't plan to that end. And so, back in the case we started with in Acts 6, it was just, in that case, neglect, overlooked, but it did lead to problems and could have led to real serious problems had the apostles not addressed it. Same here. Look at the next verse. For why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress and embrace the bosom of a foreigner? It's been interesting to my wife and I as we've, throughout the years, been involved in observing marriages and talking to people about marriages that I could give you names. Obviously, I won't. And if people don't live here, so don't ask who they are. There's a couple, for example, and they were good people. But the man did not pay attention to this part of his marriage. And eventually what happened was he became enamored with another woman in the congregation. And whereas before he would not pay attention to his wife, he didn't want to hold her hands in public, he didn't want to be affectionate. I guess he thought that wasn't manly, I don't know. The other woman, it was just the reverse. You know what? He had an affair, they're divorced. What if he'd have paid attention to this part of his relationship? Genesis 29, Proverbs chapter 5. Could it have been different? Maybe. Maybe. There would maybe not have been the temptation to fulfill those desires in another field. So you can see again how important this concept of neglect can be. All right, let's move to another area. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 5. We move to the area of our spiritual growth. I don't know how the Hebrew writer knew, but somehow he was aware of the fact that this writing that he was doing, that these readers were having difficulty or would have difficulty with the subject that he was engaging in, the high priesthood of Christ. The book of Hebrews is not a beginning grammar. It's a deeper book. But you'll note in verse 11, he said, concerning him, that is Christ, as our high priest, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain. How can it be hard to explain if he's guided by the Holy Spirit? And if he knew his subject, it's hard to explain. Not because the writer was ill-equipped,
but because the hearers were ill-equipped. Why were they ill-equipped?
Look at the next verse.
By this time, you ought to be teachers. But he said, you have need, again, for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Did they intend and purpose to be spiritual babies the rest of their lives? Do you think that? You don't think that. What do you think led them to that condition? Read the next verse. Everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. Solid food is for the mature who, because of what? This verse says practice. Yours may say exercise. Exercise. Exercise machines. You know what they're good for, don't you? To hang the clothes on. You know, you buy them, you put them in a room. I intend to get on that thing, but you don't. You buy a membership at maybe some kind of exercise place, and maybe you use it once in a while. I intend to. I got busy. You overlook it. Well, the same is true with equipping ourselves to be Bible students. It's much easier to drink the milk. It's not as easy to learn to chew on the steak, to work with the more difficult ideas. And there are some in Scripture, and there are things we must learn if we're going to grow. And so it's not a matter of purposing after years to still be an infant in our approach to the Word of God. It's just a matter of neglect. Is this an encouragement to us, a warning to us? Look, what are the potential consequences arriving in the condition of these people? Reading the book of Hebrews, I have no idea what he's talking about. What is all of this stuff? Let's go back and just read Acts. And so there is the potential loss of spiritual growth, and with the loss of spiritual growth, the loss of the ability to be of service in the kingdom of God, and maybe to prepare yourself for the difficulties that may arise. And that was happening with these people. They were in danger of apostasy. And so there's a definite danger in this matter. Look over at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 25. We're back in the book of wisdom again. It's interesting how many times, in fact, you go through Proverbs, you'll find a lot of admonitions about neglect. Sometimes they use the word in the old verse, slothfulness. This one will use the word laziness. And slothfulness and laziness in Proverbs is talking about neglecting the things that we don't like to do, that we maybe find difficult or unpleasant. Well, in Proverbs 1:25, you have this woman personified as wisdom, and she's crying out to people, hey, I've got something for you. Stop a minute. But look at the response that she gets in verse 25. It says, you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. It's not that they said to the woman, get out of town. Not that. It's just, look, I'm busy right now. I've got to go over here to the market. I've got an appointment. It's just neglect. It's just overlook. But what she goes on to, what the writer goes on to point out, is that later on when they're in trouble, when the storm comes, you look that down in verse 27, when the storm comes, hey, where's that woman? Can't find her. Too late. You don't take a pill and get the knowledge and wisdom you need. It just don't work that way. So neglect Bible study today. You know, come to church, listen to these lessons, go home and turn your TV on and watch your favorite show and go to somewhere else tomorrow night and eat with your friends the next night, come back to church on Wednesday night maybe, and don't ever spend any time growing. You're the one that's making the choices that may cost you. It will cost you in your service to God. Hopefully it won't cost your soul. Good. It's just neglect. But our last category, we've said in all these areas, they may not be in and of themselves sin. They can lead to sin, and certainly difficulty. But this last area is indeed a sinful neglect. I want to begin back in Deuteronomy chapter 32.
chapter 32 and verse 18. This is Moses' song. Look at verse 18. You neglected the rock who begot you and forgot the God who gave you birth. The word forgot, you think, did they have a memory problem? Did they have Alzheimer's or what? No. Forgot's interpreted by the first line. You acted like people who just lost your reverence, your fear, your trust in God. You neglected to give Him the devotion, the fear, the service that He was worthy of. That's serious. That's sin. Look at Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9. And look at verse 13. In the laws that were given to Israel concerning their feast. He said, verse 13, the man who is clean and is not on a journey. Now this is the New American Standard. It says, and yet neglects. Out in the margin it says, or ceases. Some versions translate it that way. Ceases to keep. The English Standard Version says, fails to keep. Why do they fail to keep? I just don't believe in God anymore? Oh, no. I don't care about the Passover as a historical event? No. Not that. Just, I'm on a journey. I've got other things. You can see how neglect would cause someone to fail to observe the Passover. And there are some provisions that are made in that particular case. But you can see at the end of the verse, it says that man will bear his sin. And so you can see it can be a very important matter. Sometimes people don't attend on the first day of the week to take the Lord's Supper. Wonder how the Lord looks at that. Well, I just didn't go to bed early enough. Well, why not plan? You know it's the Lord's day. Well, I just overlooked that fact. Well, is that okay? And so you can see neglect can be a real problem. Over in Nehemiah, go over the book of Nehemiah. And look at Nehemiah chapter 10. Nehemiah chapter 10. Look at verse 39. The sons of Israel, this is Nehemiah 10:39. Sons of Israel and the sons of Levi shall bring the contribution of the grain, the new wine, and the oil to the chambers. There are the utensils of the sanctuary, the priests who are ministering, the gatekeepers, and the singers. Thus we will not, the New American Standard translates, neglect. Marginal note, it says literally, forsake. These things were used to support these workers. Do we neglect to think about our contribution? Oh, I forgot to write my check. I forget to write a check sometimes. Make it a plan. And if you do forget, then next week, double up. Whatever needs to be done. Don't neglect contributing. But you can see that's what happened. It's interesting in chapter 13, verse 11, the view that was taken about this conduct of these people. He said, I reprimanded the officials and said, why is the house of God forsaken? These people that weren't supported had to go out and earn a job. God's house was forsaken. Remember, we said neglect leads to consequences. That was a consequence, and it was a serious consequence of the people just neglecting to pay attention to the support of these appointed workers. Matthew 23, what an important lesson for you and me. I'm talking about this audience here tonight. We often consider ourselves conservatives. We consider ourselves guardians of the divine pattern, and there's nothing wrong with that, and I'm not ashamed of that. But
Here's an important lesson for you and me. We talked somewhat about that this morning in our lesson. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and they considered themselves the guardian of orthodoxy as well. But look what Jesus said, Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. He went on to point out, you ought to take care of the tithing, but you sure should neglect this other. And so we insist on following the divine pattern, preaching the Word of God, book, chapter, and verse. But what about these other things? What about justice and mercy and faithfulness and kindness and tenderness? And we can get into that old pattern that we talked about this morning, where we're just emphasizing that so much that we get away totally from mercy and grace and faithfulness, kindness. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 8. Remember the Pharisees, although they pretended to be the guardians of the law, they failed in the very thing that they portrayed themselves to be, because they had human traditions that they had introduced. One of them was to wash your hands before you eat. Nothing wrong with washing your hands, but there's no authority to make it a religious act. And so Jesus addresses that. Verse 8, he said, neglecting the commandment of God. The King James, New King James says, laying aside. The New Revised Standard Version says, abandoning. There was something more important. We've got to be sure that people wash their hands. Of course, that was even a human tradition. It wasn't even God's will. What about taking care of your mom and daddy? And sometimes this is exactly what you find in denominationalism today. There's tremendous emphasis on human traditions like Christmas and Easter, but neglecting what God appointed, the weekly observance of the first day of the week, for example. And sometimes even in Church of Christism, if you don't know what that means, I guess the lesson will go unheeded. We get so concerned about Church of Christ ideas instead of Bible ideas that we can miss the point. Look at Hebrews 13. Isn't it interesting? At least I find it interesting how we can go through the Bible from the Old Testament to the New Testament, all the way from Genesis. Here we are toward the end of your Bible, and we find this thread of neglect and how it impacts various aspects of our lives. Numbers 13:2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. When's the last time you had somebody in your home? Well, I meant to. I just never got around to it. What does this mean? Maybe I'm missing it. Maybe you can help me with it when I'm finished. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. So I have my dear friends that we always drink coffee with and eat donuts together. No, somebody maybe you don't know so well, but the beloved brother or sister in Christ. For by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. I heard us talking about Abraham. Tell his wife, go fix a meal for these guys. Isn't that interesting? Look at verse 16. Do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Now we're so focused on self and our needs and our problems and our enjoyments and our lives. What about others out there that we can do something for? Well, I didn't think about... Yeah, that's the problem. That's what neglect is. Let me finish with Hebrews 2:3.
I'm going to start in verse 1. Chapter 1, he talks about the majestic excellency and divine nature of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and how he left heaven and came to this earth to bring the word of salvation to mankind. And then in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, for this reason, because of the majestic excellency of the one who left heaven to bring this message of salvation to us, for this reason, we must pay much closer attention. Isn't that the very opposite of overlooking and neglecting? We must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. We've been talking about the dangers of neglect. Look at the last part of the verse. Lest we drift away. It's not an overnight thing. It's gradual. Because of the failure to be attentive to it. Verse 2, if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Neglect. How important is it that we give attention to what God has done for us in Christ Jesus? If that becomes the very focus, the most important thing in our life, not our job, not even our family, not our health, that God's only Son came to this earth to redeem us and brought us a word of salvation, that should be the utmost important to us. We're going to sing a song of encouragement and invitation. What is that song, Matt?
Jesus the Loving Shepherd.
What a great shepherd he would be. He led his sheep out to the pasture. One of them jumped the fence. He didn't pay attention. He was busy enjoying the beautiful day. Maybe he brought him a nice cool drink of some sort to enjoy. Sit under the tree. The sheep wanders off, exposed to the wolves. But he doesn't pay. He doesn't notice. Well, that'd be a great shepherd, wouldn't it? He's not that kind of shepherd. He pays attention to every sheep. He knows when one out of the 100 is gone. Jesus, the loving shepherd, and one reason he's so great is because he cares about you and he cares about me, whoever you are. Jesus, the loving shepherd. Think about that as we stand and as we sing.